Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody, and welcome to show number 28 from Engage for Success. For those who don't know me, I'm your host this afternoon, Jo Moffitt, MD and founder of the creative communications consultancy Woodread, and I recently joined the Guru Group of Engage for Success and have been involved in presenting the radio shows along with my co-host from time to time, Jo Dodds, in recent weeks. At Woodread, we work with leading blue-chip clients as well as some not-for-profit organisations to help them use their brands to drive their employee engagement and create healthy, productive internal cultures. For me, the brand inside is as important as the brand outside. So this afternoon, I'm pleased to welcome Michelle Bailey as our guest today. Michelle has had 20-plus years working in HR, including stints within the NHS, working for PC World in the Dixons Group, Magna Automotive, and then she spent some spells as an independent consultant working with clients like Roche, BT, and HarperCollins. And I believe it was while she was working as a consultant that she got her first taste of working with small to medium-sized enterprises, SMEs.
That's right.
Michelle set up 3E's. With the express purpose of making the benefits of engagement more readily or easily available to SMEs, in other words, organisations with roughly under about 250 employees. And her company, 3E's, are the only UK specialist of benchmarked employee, customer and supplier engagement surveys that are specifically designed for that SME audience. And Michelle also chairs the Engage for Success SME Special Interest Group. So welcome to the show, Michelle.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
So good. Well, it's good to have you. So why SMEs then?
Well, it's interesting, really. I mean, I started out my career in the bigger corporates and seemed to progress to smaller and smaller organisations as my career went on. And I think generally it gave me more of a sense of enjoyment. I enjoyed the flexibility, and I very much enjoyed seeing the impact and the fruits of my labours, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Right. And do you find that there's a big difference in working with an SME then, apart from sort of being better able to see the results of your efforts? Do you think that the principles apply equally to an SME audience as they, the principles of engagement, do they apply equally to an SME audience as they do a larger corporate?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I think engagement is something that organisations of all sizes can benefit from. I actually think that SMEs can do engagement, for lack of a better term, better than bigger companies, just really by virtue of their size.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll come back to talk about a little bit more about that in a moment. So, I know from what I've read about you, Michelle, you're a big champion for SMEs, and I just wonder why are they important? Why should we be concerned about what goes on in the SMEs? How key are they as far as you're concerned?
Well, hugely. I mean, I think 99.9% of businesses or organisations in the UK employ less than 250 people. I think that statistic is staggering. And they contribute, what, about 60% of the GDP and employ probably about 60% of the UK workforce. There is just such a significant number that they can't afford to be ignored. But to be honest, and I think a lot of business, a lot of the ideas and developments just generally around people management and leadership and so on have all been focused on bigger businesses. And I think we're kind of missing a trick, really. And perhaps things have changed. And I think there's almost a bit of a backlash against bigger businesses for certainly on the consumer side and maybe even for smaller businesses, because we're saying actually you don't have to be big to do things well. It's almost an advantage to be small these days. And I think it's a great opportunity for smaller businesses to take advantage of that trend.
So a smaller business can, by definition, be a bit more nimble and a bit fleeter of foot, perhaps. And if they only can access some of the thinking and be able to sort of adapt it and adopt it themselves, they can actually really make a difference in a much in a quicker way.
That's absolutely. Make the most of the advantages that they've got. When you talk in Engage for Success, obviously we focus on the four enablers. Mm-hmm. And if you think about those things, it's about having a strategic narrative. Well, actually, when you're in a smaller business, you're automatically closer to the customer. You're more visible. You can see the connections better. You can see where you make a difference. You're probably more able to see what the overall purpose is, and you know how all of that links in. Similarly, when you're thinking about employee voice mm-hmm. communications, I'm not saying they always are, but
no.
you know there's certainly the opportunity for them to be faster, to be less formal. You haven't got all of those strata, so you're going to get a more consistent message coming through.
Okay, so Michelle, tell me how did you start becoming involved in the whole topic of employee engagement then? Where did that come from?
I think, well, my background's always been in HR, as you said in the introduction. And I guess it's one of those things that it's always there. We would have called it something different. I mean, we've talked, you know, perhaps about culture or something, and that's what employee engagement is. It's about a culture. It's about a brand. It's a number of different things. And I guess I've just become increasingly interested in that as a topic over recent years, and particularly since I started working in smaller organisations where I can see perhaps more strongly the benefits are to be gained from having that stronger culture or a culture that engages people.
So would you say it's possible, and in a moment we're going to come on to talk a little bit more about your role with Engage for Success and the special interest group that you're leading around SMEs, but do you think it's perhaps the case that an SME may well be practicing, or individuals within an SME may well be practicing the principles of employee engagement in inverted commas without necessarily consciously calling it that or overtly going out to sort of do it? It's just an innate thing.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I guess like anywhere, you've got people who are naturally good leaders and people who work at it. Say with any big corporates or within corporates, you've got managers who recognise actually that pulling the levers for engagement is a good thing for their business and those that don't. I just think it's just so much more important than perhaps we give credit for, that actually it's one of those things you should think about straight away when you start up your business. Any business, as you said at the beginning, it's about a brand inside and a brand outside. So even if you haven't got employees, you need to start thinking about what your purpose is, how you're going to communicate that, because what you project to your customers will be what you project to your employees as well. So when you're recruiting your customers, you'll recruit your employees with the same messages.
Okay. And what do you think, as far as the kind of current market for SMEs is concerned, are they going through a particularly tough time at the moment, or are they weathering economic difficulties a bit better than you might expect? Because you're sort of obviously involved with them every day.
Yeah. I think it varies. I mean, it varies in the different markets, but I also think it varies a lot according to their outlook and what they're focusing on. Again, I think, you know, for any business out there, they can be average. They can do the same things as other people, can't they? They can go out there. They can do the same, follow the same systems and processes. They can sell the same product. Broadly, they're similar on price. Those aren't the way to differentiate yourselves. I think, like any size business, the things that really make you stand out are the value-added things. It's the service. that you build around that. And again, come back to SMEs, the ones that do it well and the ones that are being most successful are the ones that are engaging their people and using them to engage their customers. Because that's the bit that differentiates them and makes them really stand out and be worthwhile to do business with.
And I guess going back to the statistics that Engage for Success published around the launch last year, given the deficit we've got in the UK in terms of employee engagement and the extrapolated cost of that to the UK economy, given what you're saying is that such a significant proportion of our businesses are in fact SMEs, if we can get this right with them, then we can create an enormous impact and they can actually have a huge effect.
You can't really afford to ignore such a significant number of organisations employing 60% of the workforce. I think as well there's been studies that show that actually SMEs do create more jobs. And they're projected, I think, as well to be the ones that create more jobs over the next few years as well. So, again, it's a boost for SMEs, and hopefully it will also be that corresponding boost for the economy as well.
And so, how did you? Obviously, we've talked a little bit about your background in HR and your interest in engagement, and obviously your interest in the sector, as far as SMEs are concerned. So, how did you first get involved with Engage for Success, then, Michelle?
Well, it's funny, really. I've been following the things that the report and so on, and various other kind of activities and reports in the newspapers and so on. And I very much wanted to go along to see either Nita or David talk, and an opportunity came up to go along to an ACAS conference, actually, up in Birmingham, and Nita was talking. There was also Dame Carol Black was there as well, and she was making the links between health and well-being and engagement. So it was really, really interesting, really good. And I just introduced myself to Nita at the end and said I had a particular interest in engagement in SMEs, and I was kind of quite keen to participate and contribute on that level. And she said, oh, yes, well, that's really good because, you know, that's something that we are also keen to push forward. And then I volunteered. I said, I'd quite like to do something. I'll do that special interest group on engagement with SMEs. And it just went from there.
So special interest group then. What's the purpose of that? What's it for? Apart from obviously sort of, you know, waving the flag for the importance of SMEs and so on, what are you actually trying to achieve with it?
Well, the first thing is to try to understand what SMEs or small and medium-sized businesses are doing about engagement. Are they doing anything? Mm-hmm. Are they calling it engagement? Is the term engagement the right one for them? Are we going to be able to kind of access them? So the first thing that we're doing is to do some research. So we've got a group of people, a mixed group. So we've got Jill Miller from CIPD, we've got a number of independent consultants, and we've got a couple of people actually from SMEs themselves. And we've devised a research questionnaire, simple online survey. The idea behind it is to uncover what people working in SMEs think and feel about engagement, whether they think it's something that could be useful for their business. And that's going to be the first step to us identifying what we can do, if you like, to raise levels of awareness about engagement, whether we need to, what terminology we need to use, and then also build on that to identify what we can do to help share and spread good practice, because there definitely is good practice out there and a lot of it going on with SMEs. It's just unfortunate that we're not showcasing it as much as we could be at the moment.
Right. Okay. So has the survey started yet, Michelle?
No, it is actually available today. We could say that today is the launch day.
It's the official launch. Okay, righto, excellent. So, how, if if people want to get involved in that survey, how can we help them do that?
Well, what we want to do is actually, whilst we've got the SIG members promoting the survey, and we are promoting it across the UK, we obviously need more assistance. So we've set ourselves a minimum target of 500 organisations that we would like to participate in the survey. Mm-hmm. And so we need any organisations with about 250 or less employees to come mm-hmm. forward and to complete that complete the survey.
Okay. How's the survey? Sorry to interrupt. How's the survey? Is it an online survey or paper survey or what?
It's an online survey.
Online.
There's only 20 mm-hmm. questions, and mm-hmm. you can access it by going to www.3es.com. Mm-hmm. There will also be a link to the survey on the Engage for Success website, although that's not up just yet. But we'll have those two routes. And there may well be more mm-hmm. avenues as well as we go forward, and we'll publicise those as we go forward.
Okay, so a relatively short and sweet survey. Shouldn't take people very long to fill in, so the more the merrier, really.
Absolutely. Yeah? I wouldn't anticipate it taking any more than 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the first four questions are nice, easy ones, like, what is your name? what organisation?
Even in this seat, we can get that one right, I think.
I hope so.
Okay. And what sector? So you'll be able to categorise the responses a bit, will you? Is that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the other interesting things will be to actually determine if there are any real differences in terms of size within that SME group as well. So we're asking for employee numbers. And we can see, are there different approaches or is there different thinking about engagement according to the sector you're working in, or mm-hmm. maybe the part of the UK that you're in, or how many employees you've got?
Right.
That will all be very interesting.
Yeah, just to clarify something, Michelle, would you consider sole traders as part of the SME universe, or are they not really what you're interested in? I mean, how small is the S of SME in terms of this particular industry?
Well, the kind of standard definition would be between 10 and 250 employees, but I'm very happy to go up a bit
mm-hmm.
Because I don't think, you know, you can suddenly cut off and say, you know, this now doesn't apply to you. There may well be different issues involved. And similarly, happy to go down to micro businesses as well, because the mm-hmm. idea that we've got behind engagement is that actually it helps you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I very much see that engagement should provide a framework that will help small and medium-sized businesses grow and prosper. We wouldn't discount it at all.
Okay. And then once you've done the online research, and we'll certainly publicise the link as well after this show, what will then happen with that? What happens next?
Well, as part of that, we ask people also to indicate whether they'd be prepared to participate in a further either face-to-face interview or just a telephone interview, so that we can drill down a little bit and get a bit more detail. So if there's somebody out there who's really interested in getting involved and perhaps would like to participate as a case study, or they've got evidence of, you know, good practice and good things that they've done, we'd be really interested to talk to them. So that will go on, we'll carry on doing that whilst the survey is still rolling out. And again, people can also indicate if they would like to have a report of the findings, and we'll distribute that to everybody afterwards too. Obviously highlighting what our findings are and what we intend to do with them next.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So in terms of timings, when would you hope, all going well, when do you hope to publish the results of the work?
I hope by the end of the year. Mm-hmm. Certainly, we will keep the survey running throughout the summer and up until, I would have said, mid-October or towards the end of October. Obviously, we're going to get loads of people contributing, so we'll be way in excess of our 500 in number. But we want to get as many people contributing as possible, because then obviously the information is going to be more meaningful, and then we'll be able to do a lot more with it at the end of the year.
Okay, it's interesting. Without wishing to sort of preempt the findings, and clearly that's the whole point of the SIG that you're doing, is trying to answer some of these questions. But given your experience of this audience, do you have any sort of feelings of what you think might be some of the barriers to perhaps why more SMEs don't embrace the concept, or indeed, maybe that's not right, maybe they do embrace it. What do you think there might be some of the barriers that
Think you're right, Jo. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily that they don't embrace it. I do think that time is a big factor for SMEs. They don't have the specialist resources that perhaps bigger organisations have. I also think that actually they won't necessarily talk about it in the same terms. So engagement may not be a term that they use. My thoughts tend to be that it's a much more practical kind of a focused approach, one that focuses on the bottom line, which is something that's going to be more of an attention grabber for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think both of those are perhaps issues. But I do think they're doing stuff out there. They're just calling it something different. And for us to have the most impact, we need to tap into that and understand what that is. And
it's interesting you should say that, really, because certainly one of the things we work with a lot of big blue chip consumer brand organisations, as well as some smaller not for profits. But when we will talk to a smaller consumer business or a not for profit organisation, or perhaps someone in the public sector, they will say to us, "Oh, well, that's all very interesting. That's all very well for the likes of, you know, Volkswagen or the likes of AXA or whatever." When they sort of imagine that this is something that only big organisations can really do, and one of the things that I always say to them is, well, we never do anything here that we never recommend to our clients that they should do something that we don't ourselves do. So we're very kind of into practicing what we preach, and we're a relatively small organisation, but we do these things for ourselves, and I can then sort of show them how we have done that, and actually it doesn't necessarily come with a big price tag.
Absolutely.
And you know, you can do an awful lot. You can get an awful lot of bangs for your bucks internally compared to what you get for your marketing budget externally, can't you, really?
And things as a smaller business, you can do things more informally. I don't, maybe it's the word engagement. I mean, what does it mean? You know, you think about engagement, great big fat engagement ring, that costs a load of money, you know, a huge amount of return for it, you know, and what does it lead to? A wedding, and that's loads of money as well.
That's a load of money.
And I think maybe there's that association which is wrong. It should be easily, it's scalable, but actually if you look at it the other way, the things that I think are most effective in bigger businesses are the immediate things. It's the, you know, the little bits of communication and whatever. And actually, I think what you tend to see is they copy the things that they see in smaller businesses because it's actually trying to keep businesses as a smaller unit. It seems to, certainly for some of the most successful organisations, that's a winning formula, isn't it?
Yeah.
Keep the relationships more intimate. Communication flows better. Give them the autonomy.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. When we were talking a few weeks ago, we had Amber Kelly on the show, and Amber Kelly from Serco.
Yeah.
And she was talking about, one of the things we were talking about, what are the barriers to getting the message about the importance of employee engagement across within a large organisation. And it was interesting because one of the things that obviously Engage for Success spent a lot of time at the back end of last year having publishing the evidence. You know, having pulled together all the evidence and the sort of the facts and the figures, and certainly from my own perspective, we've spent a lot of time in the last couple of years explaining the link between engaged employees and the bottom line. So there's been a lot of, we're all sort of evangelizing that a little bit and, you know, kind of talking about the link. And what she was actually saying is that, what in her experience, it's almost like people get that now, but the, but the other side of the equation is to start sharing with people or telling people a little bit more about the dangers of not embracing it. So rather than saying, you know, if you do these things, you will get a positive impact upon your bottom line because of the connection, she's actually found it quite a good way of approaching it is to actually say, actually, if we've got poor employee engagement, then this potentially could happen and this could happen. And it's almost like treating it as a bit of a sort of smoke alarm of some impending disaster. And she's found people sit up and sort of take notice of that quite effectively.
Yeah.
And I wonder whether maybe that's a big corporate response, whereas perhaps the SMEs are still needing that explanation of the positive reasons why rather than the risks of why.
Well, I mean, I think that could be interesting. It's certainly one of the questions we've got in that in the survey is whether or not they think it would impact on their profitability and productivity and so on. But I also think it's taking it that one step further, because it's fine to theorise about it, saying this is what you would get. I think we have to take that next step, which is, you know, okay, so in order to get it, what do you actually need to do? It's about having some case studies or being able to demonstrate how it has benefited those smaller businesses. But also it's about showing them and giving them some practical ideas and things that they can implement. And I think that will give them, convince them, actually, more than just the pure facts and figures are.
And from your experience, Michelle, have you, because we're kind of coming to the end of our time now, but just in the sort of last couple of moments that are with us, last couple of minutes, any particularly shining light examples that you can think of where SMEs that you've personally been involved in, where you can say, oh yes, well, you know, they did that and that was really, really good because?
Yeah, and there was kind of quite simple things. There was an SEO agency I worked with in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And they did one of my surveys with them. And you'd think, actually, well, that's quite unusual. Why would you want to do a survey when you've only got about 12 staff? Surely you can go out and talk to them. But it's a lot about building up that level of trust and building up the communication. So they did the survey, and on the back of that, they've done some quite radical things. They've got a working week, which they call an 80-20 week, so 4 days work, 1 day, which is kind of learning and research based, and it's become part of their working life. Now, they obviously need to stay ahead and keep abreast of all the developments in that area, and they've built in that responsibility. So not only is it great for business and their customers, it's a great personal learning opportunity for all the people that they've got working there as well. So
that's really impressive, isn't it?
Good one. Yeah.
I mean, that really is impressive, because, I mean, that's the kind of Google model, isn't it, or the 3M model, where they sort of have always given their employees that space. But again, you might say, oh, well, that's very easy for a global organization like that to do. But for a company of 12 people, that's a very, very interesting thing to do.
I was just going to say, it sits alongside their brand very well, because they've said, you know, they are quality focused. Well, they can't be quality focused if they haven't got that grounding behind them, if they're not keeping abreast of what's going on.
Yes, very interesting. And how did they come up with that idea? Where did that come from?
Do you know what? I think it was just a bit of a brainstorm, really.
Had the results of the survey,
sit down, how are we going to do this? How do we push it forward? Time's always very pressing in an environment like that, and recognition, actually, that you have to dedicate some time for it. They've had previously hadn't worked that well.
They had a go. Well, it's really interesting. Michelle, I'm sorry to have to cut you short, but we're running right out of time now. So it just remains for me to say thank you very much for spending some time with us this afternoon and sharing what you're up to on the SIG. We'll let everyone know the survey address, and as you were saying, it's available on the Engage for Success website or indeed at 3es.com. Next week's show, on the 29th of July, we've got Peter Cook, not the Peter Cook, but the Peter Cook, joining us for 30 minutes. And this sounds quite fascinating, and I'm really looking forward to this. He's going to be talking about punk rock engagement. So goodness only knows what that means, but we'll look forward to it. So thank you very much, Michelle, and thank you, everybody, for listening.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.